pages and pages and pages of like things that I really wanted to talk about. But now that I'm sitting here, I'm just like overwhelmed looking at all this. I mean, I'm sure we'll cover it all, but like, you know. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Just Jay the Podcast. Very excited to be on this couch. There's so much that I could say. I got so much love for last episode, even though it was fucking weeks ago. There's so much that we have to talk about, so much that I feel like I have to catch you guys up on. Monday, which was literally 2 days ago, was Just Jay's 3-year anniversary. Literally dropped my first ever episode 3 years ago that day. I don't know. I didn't really do much for my anniversary this year. You guys know, like, whenever the anniversary comes around, I really always want to, like, party or hang out with my friends, do something fun. But, like, I just wasn't in that headspace this year. And it's funny because Khalid, my cousin that I talk about all the time, his headstone was actually, like, we had got him. It's been a long time coming. He's been gone for almost 6 years now in this upcoming November. And he never had a headstone. Long story short, because all of the fucking bullshit with the headstone is not even anything worth really talking about, but never had a headstone. Obviously, me and my friends were all so young at the time. We're like 18, 19, you know, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out, you know, real life shit, let alone kids thinking about a fucking headstone. So all this time, all we really had when we went to the cemetery to celebrate him, which was often because that's literally where we like congregate to like get our therapy in and see each other and have a good time, but we all just had this plaque with his name on it. So, you know, his football coach from years ago, actually, that still actually works in our school district now, he had done this huge fundraiser to get him a headstone, because I guess, you know, something we had some one of us had posted something, and I guess it had gotten back to them, or back to him, and he was like, nah, I want to do something so that we can get him a headstone. And lo and behold, it's so funny because my dad didn't even know that he didn't have a headstone all this time because we had just never talked about it. But yeah, he got a headstone. It's fucking beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Me and my two other cousins, who are also Khalid's youngest siblings, designed the headstone. It's everything that represents him so beautifully. I think it's great. We all loved it. So it got put in place on Monday on my anniversary, so I was just like, hell no, like I'm feeling all the emotions of that. Totally forgot about the anniversary, to be quite honest with you. Never posted about it, never said anything, but happy 3-year anniversary to Just Jay. I'm so excited. Like, I literally have seasons on seasons on seasons of just like my opinions, my expertise, like the things that I just want to talk about, you know, friends that I collaborated with. So it's a really, you know, the platform that I've built is something that I'm very, very proud of. And I know, like, if you've never watched an episode or listened to an episode, I know you've heard about my show. So that's really all that matters to me, as long as, you know, it's just known about. Because my audience is my audience, and you're going to fuck with it if you fuck with it. And if you don't, that's fine. But if you do, cool, you know? So, like, I'm happy with everything that I've built. And I'm happy that, you know, the 21-year-old version of me that was like, I want to build this idea that I've had for so long, actually took a chance on herself and just created something and just said, fuck it. Those who fuck with it are gonna fuck with it, and those who don't aren't, you know what I mean? And it's been that way for 3 years. So I'm so happy. I'm so proud of myself. I am so grateful for the conversations that I've had and just the way that I've gone about creating something so beautiful for myself. And I couldn't be happier. You know, although I didn't really celebrate as I usually do, it was a very wholesome day, you know. I think it was a very full circle day that his headstone just so happened to be placed the day of my anniversary. Like, that's crazy. So yeah, I decorated all nice. I got some little logs, you know. It was so cute. I got, like, it was just amazing. I don't know, I've never really decorated a headstone or a cemetery plot before, so like I was into it. And I got him some, like, just unique ass shit. Like, I didn't want the typical white fence that people put around it. No, I got like a really cute, like, brown logs. I'm gonna put a video in here so you guys can see it. But put some rocks in there, planted an orange flower next to it. Like, it was just beautiful. And I got all my bros together. We, you know, came. I'd send out a mass text Monday night when it had already been put in. Got all my bros together. We linked up yesterday. It was beautiful. Everybody was so excited to see it. Everybody was so like, the only thing that everybody kept saying was like, wow, this is like a weight off our shoulders. Like, now we don't have to worry about this. Now it's here. We're good. Like, you know what I mean? And that felt good as someone who was also just feeling guilty. Like, damn, my bro don't have what he's supposed to have. So yesterday was very good. The past 2 days were very good. I think my, you know, the anniversary being so unplanned and so whimsical was perfect because, you know, the things that happened on the day of was just amazing. I needed my own energy. I feel like lately I've been very sensitive because I've been going through the ups and downs of life. So everybody's opinion and outside energy has fucked with me to an extent. And I feel like I'm at a point where I'd rather just be by myself so that I don't get thrown off by anybody else's opinions or energy. And I just feel like it's been very beneficial for me because I've been enjoying my me time, I've been enjoying my quiet time, and I've been enjoying just like not hanging out with anybody. Because honestly, I went to hang out with one of my cousins, who is also Khalid's little sister, the one that helped me plan the headstone. I went out with her and I was like, honestly, girl, this is my first time really being outside and messing with anybody else other than my family, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. Even yesterday, like, that was the first time I seen all my bros in a really, really, really long time, because it was just like, you know, we all be working, we all be doing our own thing. And it's just like, when we get that chance to come together and link up at the cemetery, we have the time of our lives. Like, we smoke, we drink, we chill. Like, we have such a good time at the cemetery. And that sounds crazy because I never in my life would have ever thought like the cemetery would be like a hangout spot for me and my friends. But it absolutely is. Like, we had the time of our lives. We was there till like 8 o'clock. Mind you, cemetery closed at 6. But nobody's coming around to check to make sure niggas is out. So it's like, you know, we got there probably like, I got there at 6, doing a dash, trying to make sure that I got there before everybody. Literally pulled up as two of my other bros was pulling in, ran out the car, put a blanket over the shit because I didn't want nobody to see it until we all unveiled it together. Because I felt like, being that it was 6 years of us waiting for it and, you know, just like trying to figure out how it was going to happen, that needed to be a grand moment. And it was a grand moment. And I'm happy because my cousin is probably in heaven like, damn, like, they really did a big one for me. And we always did. We always have. But it's just like, I know that meant a lot to him, especially the way everything looked so beautifully. And it was such a representation of him. It was amazing. It was amazing. I have actually also been very, very good on my journey to quit smoking. Let me tell you something. First of all, the reason that I actually was like, all right, I gotta kick this shit. I got a job offer with Department of Corrections, was super excited, super, like, it was just everything that I really, really wanted. But it was also the first interview that I went on and the first job offer that I got. Interview was amazing, went really, really well, felt super connected to the people. And they offered me the job and I was gonna take it wholeheartedly. Even though it was all the way in the city, I was gonna take that shit, I don't give a fuck. I was gonna drive the hour and a half every day and get my fucking money. I sure was. But lo and behold, of course, because I can never have anything go too smoothly in my life, I went to get fingerprinted, you know, for the position. And the guy was like, yo, you know, there's like a new New York State mandate, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, it requires New York City employees to live in the 5 boroughs. For the first, I think he said, you have 90 days from when you start to move out there. And then after you make 2 years in the position, you can live wherever you want. What? Nobody told me that. And mind you, in my interview, I'm sitting there kikiing ha-ha with the girls that are like sitting down interviewing me, asking the questions. And they're like, oh, you live in Long Island? Like, you know, your commute is going to be not fun sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I'm not worried about it. Like, I just want that money. Like, I'm cool. Like, I'm just going to go. You know, I want this really bad. Like, I'm gonna figure it out. As long as I, you know, get here, I'm good. Nobody ever brought that up to me. Nobody. So now I'm like, bro, what? And he's like, yeah, they should have told you that during the interview. Well, they didn't, buddy. So now I walk out of the building, literally get in the car. I'm bawling immediately because I'm like, bro, like, why does this happen to me? Why do I get something good? It's served on a silver fucking platter. And then it's ripped away. Like, why? Why, bro? Why? When I tell you I cried all the way back to Long Island, and now, baby, that was an hour and a half drive. The way I'm crying, I know everybody driving close to me was like, yo, is she good? I was devastated. Devastated. Shook my whole world up because it was like, first of all, I get my expectations up way too high. Way too high. And it's like, I didn't even have the job yet. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to work this. I'm going to get this X amount of money. I'm going to save up. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to move away. I'm going to do all this stuff. And it's just like, girl, you didn't even get the job offer before you, like, you didn't even get it solidified before you really made plans and, like, got your expectations so high. So that's partially my fault. Yes, I understand that me not being able to take the job has totally nothing to do with me. Because geographically, I live where I live and that's it. Like, I'm not moving. I'm not about to up and move myself to the city, which, first of all, I always said, like, oh, I want to live in the city. I want to live in the city. I want to be a city girl. No, I don't. I absolutely do not. I love the suburbs. I love Long Island. I love everything that goes on here. Okay, two different worlds, first of all. I'm not about to uproot my life and move somewhere for a job that I don't even know if I'm going to fucking like, even though I know I probably would because I know I'm very, very good at it. And my skill set is beyond this world. And also my educational background, I know I would have bodied it, but it's like, girl, you don't know that. So it's like, I'm not about to uproot my entire life to live somewhere that I don't want to live, number one, just for a job that I know I'm only going to want to be at if I'm going to continue to progress. You know what I mean? So it's like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I was totally comfortable with taking the drive, but if that's not going to be the case and I'm not going to be able to do that, then cool, on to the next. And it's funny because I was so devastated until I got to work that day. Because it's like, I went to Queens to do my fingerprinting. I literally had to drive an hour and a half home. I stopped at home for about 10, 15 minutes and had to go right to work. So once I got to work, I had a different level of clarity. And I feel like I really just needed to cry it out and get it out, which is amazing because, like, I'm a crier. I'm a cry if I fucking need to cry. And I felt like my world had just, like, shattered because it was like, I had always had a backup plan of going back to the school system thing and doing the special education thing. I had already had that set up. I was already in, like, I'm still put down to start that again in September. You know what I mean? But that wasn't my plan for me. I was like, damn. Once school ended in June, I was like, okay, these people are, hopefully I'll never see these people again. Hopefully I will not have to come back here because I will hopefully get a job this summer. And I did. But the universe said, not yet. No. So it's like, okay. So now I have to go back to that in September when I really don't want to be doing that. I wouldn't say that I've completely fallen out of love with that because I haven't. And I'm also very, very good at that because I do care. But it's just like the things that I've gone through with that, I'm just like over it. And y'all know the whole school situation has not been pretty for me. So it's just like, I ain't with it. I'm cool. But it's like, fuck it. I guess I gotta go back and get my money and I'm obviously not gonna be there forever. So it's just like, it's just my stepping stone until I actually get what I want. But that was why I stopped smoking because I was like, hell no, I'm not about to sit here and get a really, really good opportunity and then take a drug test and fail it. Like, that would be so stupid. So I stopped a little bit. Well, I did stop completely for a while. Then obviously when I found out that my world was not going to be what I expected it to be, I took a couple puffs here and there, but I have not bought any of my own supply. Which is great because one, I'm saving hella money. Two, that I think that is what stops the urge for me. Like if I know, first of all, if I haven't had it in a while, I haven't had my own supply to where it's accessible. Because if it's accessible to me, I'm going to use it. So it's just like, and I was just telling my homegirl, I have no like, what do you call it? I want to say the word couth, but I don't think that's it. That's such a professional word. I have no self-control when it comes to that anymore. I used to be very good at it, but now no, because it's just like, I don't know how to use anything leisurely. So me having that in my possession, I'm going to abuse it. And I'm going to be fucking back to the plug, spending money again. No, I'm not with that. So I haven't bought any of my own supply, which I don't think I will, honestly, because I'm really not, I don't have that desire to really do it. And also when I have been high, the past couple times I have been high, which is with my bros and like, obviously for the cemetery thing, you know, they passing around. But when I have been high, it has not given me what it used to give me. Like my body reacts to it differently. I'm super exhausted, number one. Like, because I used to be able to do that and then, like, go about my day and do some shit. Like, like a normal person. I can't do that no more. It affects my body differently. It makes me tired. It makes me like, and then I wake up. Obviously, I'm going to sleep after I'm doing it. So it's like I wake up and I'm groggy. I'm moody because it's like I'm coming down. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it fucks with me and it does not do what it was supposed to. It does not even what it was supposed to do. It does not do what it used to do. So I'm cool off of it. I mean, I've just been doing it leisurely with my bros, which, you know, hasn't been very, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I have stopped, which is good. I stopped buying my own shit, which is good. So that's awesome. I'm happy about that. And I'm happy, you know, because it's like the decisions we make now are what's going to help us in the future. So if I gain self-control with that and I just completely kick that habit, I'm going to be great, you know, because it also affects my mind also, because it's like, if something goes down, my mind automatically used to be like, okay, well, I'm going to go smoke. Now it's just like, okay, bitch, cry it out. But what are we doing to heal from this? What are we doing to cope from this like a normal human being who does not need other things to do that for her? So like the day that they told me that like I, you know, about the mandate thing, like I had already stopped. So in the back of my mind, it's like, yes, damn, I could use a blunt right now. I could use like that escape right now. But it's just like, no, cry it out. And I did. I cried it out. And then after like I got through the whole emotional sadness process of it, I was like, okay, I'm good. First of all, this is the universe telling me that that salary wasn't big enough anyway. Number one, because I'm, you know what I mean? Like, let's just big ourselves up here with this experience. Yeah, you deserve more than that. Okay. And number two, that was only the first one. So like, what are you really worried about? You know? So that's just been my mindset with it. And it's also crazy because my mom went to a psychic 2 weeks ago. And my mom was like, yo, my psychic talks a lot about you. And she was like, my psychic also said to tell your daughter, don't take the first opportunity given to her. So it all makes sense. You know what I mean? And it's going to make even more sense when I actually get where I'm trying to go. And one of my homegirls was like, maybe you're supposed to go back to the school to learn something. You know what I mean? To learn something else. One more thing. Even though you've learned a fucking lot because you've been dealing with some crazy ass, wacky ass people. But like, maybe you need one more lesson. There's one more thing for you to learn. And I was like, I could take that. I could do that. I could totally do that. Totally. Because I've learned a lot from the school. And it's like, it's not a bad job at all. It's a very good job. But it's just like, you know. And I was just, and my family was so excited about the job opportunity because I got the offer August 1st. My dad's birthday is August 2nd. And unfortunately, we had to go to a funeral for one of my uncles on his birthday, August 2nd. So when, like, me telling my dad that in the midst of, like, him feeling, like, kind of low for his birthday, like, having to go to your friend's funeral on your birthday is crazy. But it's also very symbolic. And that means a lot. My dad's very special. He don't even know it. But that was a lot. So I was just like, you know, me telling him, he was obviously so excited. Literally called everybody in our fucking family. Literally. I did too. I ain't even gonna lie. Everybody that was incarcerated before this or during my lifetime, I've definitely called them because I was just like, these are the people who I do it for, you know? But I was so excited. But I was also like going through, like the first week of me getting the offer, I was really going through it mentally, emotionally, physically, everything. Because it's like, one, I'm low-key detoxing myself from, you know, smoking. So I'm coming off that. Then it's like, I'm overwhelmed because, you know, working for the state is like, you gotta have so much in order. You gotta get so much paperwork signed. I had to get shit notarized. I had to get money orders. I had to do so much. So that was overwhelming. Also, as like someone who's kind of still new to this adulthood thing, that shit was so overwhelming. Then it's like, damn, okay, am I really about to transition from special education to criminal justice in such a short amount of time? And it's like, because I still work with my student outside of school. So it's just like, damn. You know what I mean? I was just so overwhelmed to the point where it was literally making me sad as fuck. And I feel like now that I've gotten over that hump to where it's like, okay, well, we're not doing that anymore. It didn't work out. So next thing. You know what I mean? So I'm happy that I went through that because I now know, like, you know, take your time with it. You know, you're allowed to be overwhelmed because obviously that was a fucking lot. But like, you know, it's still an experience that you deserve. So, you know, ride the wave. I got my dad, me and my boyfriend got my dad a Blackstone grill. Super exciting. Because if you know my dad, you'd know. He loves to cook and he loves to grill. So I was like, we gotta get him a Blackstone because, like, let's just upgrade him from, you know, charcoal and the regular fucking shit. Because my dad is not a gas man. He doesn't really like gas grills. He's kind of scared of them, which makes it's. I understand. Because me, maybe. I'm scared too. Like, fires and all that shit, I can't do. But when you learn it and you get the hang of it. And there's really nothing to really be scared about. Yes, precautious, you should be, but scared, no. So I'm excited. He hasn't even lit it yet for real because we're about to go on vacation in like 3 days. So he's like, fuck it, I'll just fuck with it when I get back. And it's been raining in New York, so has had no chance to do it. But yeah, I'm about to go on vacation, which I'm very excited. And it's crazy because one of my bros, I was literally talking to him yesterday. And I was like, I'm about to go on vacation. I'm so excited. He's like, you go on vacation every year this time. And I was like, no. But then I thought about it and I was like, yes. Because it's just like the end of summer vacation, the last vacation before summer ends and you got to get back on your grind is like the best. And I feel like everybody has that. Whether you have a regular 9-to-5 that's throughout the entire year or not, everybody has that summer mentality to where it's like, okay, I can chill this summer. Yes, I'm gonna go to work. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. But like, I can chill. I can have fun. I can go out with my friends. I can do this. I can do that. I can travel. But like, we all know once that summer shit ends and it starts to get cold out again and we gotta go back to school and back to work, like everybody starts to buckle down again and get back into the swing of things because, you know, we have this like little stint of motivation and happiness because I feel like it goes from like September to December when Christmas comes around and then we're all in a happy mood and we're like, oh, okay, man, we can relax again, you know, like stuff like that. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to the Bahamas and then I'm going on a cruise actually. And then it takes us, the last day is going to be in Grand Turks. Oh, phenomenal. So I'm excited about that. And my homegirl Jordan, CEO of Stay Shaded Co., I've talked about this before. She sent me some shades. So I'm super excited to wear those on the beach because, bitch, you about to get some free promo and you don't even know. I have mental health check-in on the top of my notes. I'm okay right now. I feel like me seeing my cousin's headstone yesterday and seeing all my bros and seeing everybody that I really, really love and that, you know, I probably haven't seen in a minute and everybody's reaction to the headstone and just being so happy and the relief that we all feel. I'm cool now. Like, I'm happy. I'm honestly just waiting for vacation because I have a lot to think about. There's also a lot of things, like, on my mind that are, like, surfacing. I also feel like me quitting smoking has also brought a lot of the things that I was smoking to suppress on the surface. So right now I have a lot on my mind, a lot on my heart, and I'm just like, I just can't wait to be on the beach because I feel like I'm an earth sign, so like nature, and like I fucking love the summer, I love the beach, all of that shit. So being on the beach is going to be amazing for me because I know that it'll give me time to really think and just like chill. So I'm excited for that. And I think that'll give me a lot of clarity on so many different things. I'm gonna be reading. Bitch! Oh my god, speaking of reading, I just read, okay. Ow. Did you see me just hit my head? Anyway, on TikTok. This is another problem because TikTok literally will make me buy every fucking thing. This outfit I have on is from TikTok shop. It's so comfy, it's so cute. But like, why the fuck? I was always literally clowning people. Like, I'm never gonna buy things off TikTok shop. Never gonna buy things off TikTok shop. Bitch, I seen this set and I said, whoa, wait a minute. They might have me. I have bought like 3 things off TikTok shop. And that's like terrible. Like, bro, I'm literally the people that I was talking shit about. But anyway, this girl on TikTok was reading this book and she was crying her fucking eyes out. When I tell you crying, to the point where I was in such a negative headspace when like I was overwhelmed about all the shit, I was like, my soul needs that cry. So I literally went to buy the book. It's called If He Had Been With Me. I forget the name. I want to say the woman's name is Laura, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. If He Had Been With Me, I'm telling you, if you look it up, you will find it. Just type in those words and it will come up because everybody's talking about it. Everybody. I went to Target. First of all, Target's book section, beautiful. I love y'all. If y'all are doing that one thing right, clocking that tea. But anyway, and a lot of their books are on sale. I got If He Had Been With Me, because there's two parts to If He Had Been With Me. It's If He Had Been With Me, and I think it's If She Had Known, or something like that. It's the girl's perspective and then the boy's perspective. Got those two. And then I got another book called A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. I believe that's what it's called. Because that title just had me intrigued. I got those three books for $23 because Target, I think there was each book was like 20% off. So I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Yeah, run it up. So go to Target, get you some books, read, start reading. I think that's another thing. Like when I was like, there was a long period of time where I had stopped reading. Like I had stopped finding the enjoyment of reading. Like I literally, my attention span was so shit because like I couldn't even, God forbid a TikTok is longer than fucking 3 minutes. I can't even fucking sit to watch that. God forbid I want to read more than 10 pages in a book. Like my mind could not fathom it. And like now, girl, I got that book. I literally bought that book and read it in 24 hours. I shit you not. Matter of fact, I'm gonna say about 36 hours because I bought it in like the middle of the day on like a Wednesday, finished it on probably Thursday night because I literally got it and I started it and I literally was halfway through the book by Wednesday night, the day that I had bought it, to the point where I literally woke up in the middle of the night and was like, can't go back to sleep. I'm gonna read some more. Literally was halfway through the book like 12 hours after getting it. Finished it the next day. Bitch, I was crying too. Absolutely. I was crying too. I'm not going to say anything about it because I really want y'all to read it. Like, for real. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not even going to put it. Not even going to give nothing. But my review is that first book was so fucking good to the point where I'm scared to even read the second book. I'm scared to even read the second point of view. Oh my God. Something just happened. Sorry. I feel like I just heard, like, I don't know if you have a dog, but they have a specific, like, I don't know how to fucking describe this. If you guys have dogs, you know the specific sound that I'm talking about. It's very hard to explain to people that don't know it. But, like, when a dog is, like, on the verge of, like, sneezing, but also just, like, breathing in, I don't know how to describe it, but I just heard that, and it, like, really sounded like Bane. So it's kind of throwing me off. That obviously just means he's down here with me, but it's just like, damn. Like, even it was so loud. That's happened before, but never. It's never really, like, I don't think it's ever happened, like, in the middle of me recording. I also don't think it's ever, like, just totally thrown me off before like that. But, what was I talking about? Yeah, my mental health check-in. I'm cool. I recently stopped working with one of the families that I was working for. Because they are Trump supporters. And it's funny because I was talking to the other family that I work for and I was getting their perspective and their opinion on how I should handle the situation. And mind you, I work for two white families. So the first white family is the original family that I've been working with forever. And I went to them to talk about the second family that I had just tried to pick up. And mind you, white woman is literally looking at me. Mind you, I love her to death. She's amazing. Me and her get along like this. Like, we're super close. I was telling her the situation and she was like, yeah, absolutely not. Get out of there. Like, no. Like, you know when a person is racist. And the fact that they support Donald Trump as a whole entirely screams racist. Like, we're not going to trying to blind eye and act like Donald Trump hasn't literally said the most outlandish, disrespectful things about black people. So it's like, for me to continue to work for a family that I know strictly looks at me as the help is a problem for me. Mind you, the very first weekend that like I went out with them, like, because mind you, like, I can either just take the kid alone and watch him by myself, or they invited me to come with them on their boat and do all this other stuff and just, you know, have an outing with them. The husband has on a MAGA hat. The husband is wearing a MAGA shirt. And, like, at that time, me and the wife were cool. So, like, when I'm there, she's like, yo, like, I just wanted to warn you, like, of his outfit. I don't know. Like, I don't want it to, you know, ruin the relationship that I have with you. But it's like, no, like, if that's your husband and that's how hard he's going to show who he supports, baby, you're right there behind him. So no, you're not gonna have me as this black girl sitting at the table with y'all like the help. When like, no, No, that goes against everything I literally believe in. And it's just like, I'm not going to keep putting myself in these compromising situations for some money that doesn't even equal up to what I should be getting, for real. And hell no. Hell no. And also, I just feel like everybody, you can have your political views. You can believe what you want to believe. You can stand for who you want to stand for, or stand for what you want to stand for and stand behind who you want to stand for. That is totally up to you. But to the point where y'all got Donald Trump books, y'all got Donald Trump letters on your counter, like, hell no, I'm fucking uncomfortable. And it's like, these are the type of white people where white people fuck with black people for what they can do for them. A black, like, that interaction is strictly transactional. They only fucked with me because of the things that I do for their son and the way that I'm taking care of their son. Once you are not useful for a white person, oh, you're fucking out of here. So it's like, in the back of my mind, I know that. And I know who I'm dealing with. So it's like, we have to be so careful with everything that we do and all the situations we put ourselves in now. Because as black people, we're going to witness so much disrespect and so much criticism for women of color in general because of who Kamala, the strength of her, just trying to be her and trying to do things in this world, that it's going to have us questioning our own, like, you know, it's going to have us questioning ourselves. And I'm not about to sit here and work for a family that I know is saying the N-word hella hard behind my back. I'm not doing it. So I chose not to work for them anymore. And it's so funny because the mom had texted me like last week and was like, we're done. You're off the schedule. And I'm like, okay, great. Thank you. Because that was literally all I said. And I was so proud of myself because of realistically, I really just wanted to be like, okay, you white supremacist, like, what the heck? Ew. And it's like, for so long, like with the whole, when Biden was still like our potential candidate, like, I was so nervous and so uneasy. And it's funny because I was talking to another young lady a couple days ago, and she was like, it's just, don't you feel like relief? Like, now that it's Kamala, now that, like, you know, we don't have to worry about Biden screwing it up and all, just like all that aftermath, like, don't you feel relief? And I was like, yo, I do. It's like, I had so much stress and so much discomfort for what our future was going to be. And like, even my future, like, Project 2025 is not a joke. Like, I literally have been stressing that to everybody. Like, that's not a joke. And it's like, there's so many people, and I know Trump says like, oh, I didn't write it. There's so many people that work for Trump that are affiliated with him that put their 2 cents into that. And that whole 900-page manuscript is literally white racism. Like, trying to ban African-American studies and gender studies in schools? What? Why? That's weird. That's so... No. So yeah, I just like... When I came to that, and even my dad was like, yo, like, I wasn't trying to say anything to scare you or anything, but like, you know how white people get during this time. It's about to be election time. Like, especially going against a black woman who they already don't want in office with all the Trump supporters behind them. Like, they get nasty, they get mean, they get entitled, and I don't want to work for nobody like that. Especially, I didn't like the husband anyway. I did not like him off rip just because of like how he interacts with his autistic son. It's weird to me. It's very fucking weird. And even like, I don't know. Even when Biden had stepped down and like Kamala was going to be the next runner up, he was the one that told me. Because I was at their house taking care of his son, and he was like, I was walking from the bathroom, and he's like, yo, you know, Biden just dropped out. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh yeah, an hour ago, with a big ass smile on his face. You are weird. And people like that, I don't understand. Like, I just don't get it. And you got the, bro, bye. No, not doing it. And it's just like, not doing it. Fucking not doing it. Especially not for what the fuck I was getting paid. Hell no. No. And it's like, you can have your perspective on Kamala, whatever you want. Like, you can say whatever you want. The only argument that people keep saying that they really think is valid is that she was responsible for mass incarceration. When that is literally false. That's not true at all. Like, hello? That's not true. And I feel like a lot of the things that are misconstrued are from, like, because everybody's getting their information from the Shade Room or from TMZ, and those people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Kamala was the first black woman to be elected as San Francisco district attorney. That was the first black woman to hold that office ever. And she held it from 2004 to 2010. She was the co-author and co-sponsor of the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, holding police accountable, increasing transparency, improving practices, and training. That was before she was even on the ticket for vice president. What? Then she created the first of the nation's ever reentry program. It was called Back on Track, promoting rehabilitation versus incarceration for minor offenses for black people. So how are you going to sit there and say she was responsible for mass incarceration? During her tenure as DA, her marijuana admissions just decreased tremendously. Like, they went from, like, I think it was eight, I have it written down, actually. 817 admissions in her first year to 137 in her last year. So don't tell me that that woman was responsible for mass incarceration. Or that's another argument that they've been bringing up a lot, which is also bullshit and so fucking disrespectful. It's like, oh, she slept her way to the top. Oh, she did this with this person to get that. No, she did not. She worked her fucking ass off. And that's the first thing that anybody says about a woman. Like, oh, she slept her way to the top. Oh, she did this to get that. Oh, she's responsible for this. No, bro. Let that woman live and let her do her fucking thing. But that's the problem. She's black and she's a woman. And y'all hate her for that. And I love her for that. And no, we're not voting for her just because she's black and she's a woman. We're voting for her because her credentials and her political background is beyond me. There's this girl, there's this black girl, I'm sure y'all have seen her on TikTok. She goes on live and she she puts like a green screen up, and on the green screen it says, Kamala for president, why are you voting for Trump? And she literally will allow white people to come on there. Obviously they don't show their face. They never do, which is crazy to me, because if you're gonna support that, you might as well be bold about it and stand on that and show your face. But they never show their face, ever. Whatever, it's neither here nor there. I will have them on there and she'll be like, okay, so are you a Trump supporter? And then they'll say yes. And she'll be like, okay, why? Tell me why. And then be like, oh, he did this, did this, did this, did this, did this. And she'll be like, okay, what's your source? Show me the facts. Where did you get that from? Niggas are stumbling on their fucking words. Can't find shit about what they're talking about. So it's like, where did you get that from? Where did you get that from? But yeah, anyway, I love her. If you see this, TikTok lady, I think you should continue to do that forever up until November, because we need that kind of stuff. And there's also a white boy that does it too, that I've briefly seen on my timeline. I think that's pretty cool, because like, going against your white counterparts is very ballsy, especially in this time. And I love that for you. But I seen this meme where it was like, after the Trump shooting. Anyway. It says that God wanted Trump to live so he could lose to a black woman. Ooh! Like, I can't stand seeing, like, the delusional celebrities that, like, are supporting Trump. Like, Amber Rose. How the fuck did you create the slut walk for women to be themselves and, you know, do they thing? And now you support Donald Trump, who was our biggest hater. He hates women. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. And then, like, the whole Epstein thing, like, because honestly, I didn't know this. I didn't really watch the Epstein trial or anything about it, but I knew that there was some wild people that was in that mix that was doing some wild things to those children. And I did not know that Donald Trump was one of them. And he literally, like, raped some girl, and she was like, oh my God, what if I get pregnant? Like, please don't nut in me. And he did it anyway. And then she was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm so scared. Like, please don't do. And he literally just, like, threw money in her face and was like, get an abortion. What the fuck do I care? Whoa, when I seen that, because actually I was watching Don't Call Me White Girl, that show. That's another great podcast. Please tune into that on Breakbeast. I manifest a collab with I manifest a deal with Breakbeast so that I could just like monopolize off of this shit, because like they have some really, really fucking good podcasts on their platform. Revolt too. Super happy to, like, and Revolt is very like, they for the black girls too. Like, I love that. Like, Revolt or Breakbeast, please hit me up, because I'm totally ready. But on her show, actually it wasn't even me watching her show, but it was her. It was on her Instagram. She had like made a video about it. She was like, yo, like, y'all don't even know the fact that he was on Epstein Island raping little girls. Like, and I just thought that fucking mind boggled me, because like, how do you know all of these blatant things that this man has done to women or done to people or said about people, and you're still like, nope, I'm voting for him. Like, what? Oh my God, the ignorance is crazy. It's so crazy. And I feel like he's also not the best at employing black people when he was in office. Like, I have the stats. Maybe I have the stats. Biden and Harris administration, they had 58, they had appointed 58 black judges. 59, sorry. And Trump only appointed 9. Okay. Trump also only appointed one black person to a job in his cabinet because he doesn't believe leadership is a black job. Let me tell you something. This is just my take. How you don't believe that leadership is a black job when Barack Obama literally just wiped that shit off the table? Literally. Do you understand how loved Barack Obama was? Barack Obama literally had 2 consecutive amazing terms. Be for real. It's not a black job when he literally had the job you so desperately want again. Ben Carson, that was the one person that he appointed in his cabinet. And he was the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Okay. I don't know. I feel like black people in office is so fucking important because it's just like, it gives our perspectives and our experiences room to be considered. Because I feel like there's nobody that's going to stand up for black women and be, you know, a feminist and be an activist for us better than a black woman. So like, allowing these white older men to take reign and take power, and they're completely not trying to hire anybody black or have anybody black anywhere near what they're trying to do as the president, is crazy, because there's nobody there to stand up for us and put our experiences and our perspectives on the table, because we need to be on the table too. We need a seat at the table also. And that's what they really don't understand. Like, that shit is so crazy. Like, trying to completely wipe away our history is so telling. Like, child, I don't know. I'm voting for Kamala. I hope you are as well. But who am I to tell you who to vote for? But all I'm really here to do from now until November is spew as many facts that I can about both parties and let you do the picking, because that's not my job. That's not up to me. I'm not about to stress myself out about who I want everybody to vote for, because I don't care. You do what you want to do. And I strongly believe everybody needs to do what they want to do, because that is going to show people exactly who the fuck you really are. Only thing I will say that I was disappointed about with Kamala's in Kamala, because I know she really didn't have no say over it, was her Atlanta campaign. Like, why was Megan Thee Stallion and Quavo performing at her shit? First of all, I personally think that that's a bad look. And let me tell you why. And I posted this on my story, and so many people was like, wow, when you break it down like that, it makes so much sense. Personally, right, I should be on the PR team. That's just my opinion, okay? I'm gonna put that out there first. But if it was based in Atlanta, why were there not Atlanta artists there? Yes, I get it, Quavo is from Atlanta, but let me tell you why those are probably the 2 most controversial people that you could have picked. First of all, Megan Thee Stallion. Megan is great. She's awesome. But due to the whole Tory Lanez shit and him being in jail because of her, she's extremely controversial right now. A lot of people look at Megan Thee Stallion and don't know how they fucking feel with her. Or don't know how they feel about her. And don't know if they fuck with her or not for real, because they don't know what to believe. Which is fine, because that case had nothing to do with us as a society. That was totally between them and the court. But still, there's so many people who are team Tory who think that she was wrong. And so many people that are team Megan who think he was wrong. It's just too controversial. You need somebody that everybody likes. And first of all, there's no reason why she's up there singing. I don't even know what she sung, because I didn't even watch it, because I was like, absolutely not. I don't even know what song she sung, but there's no Megan Thee Stallion song that could have been right for that rally or that campaign at all. Not in my eyes. Because why is she twerking in front of America? Like, why is she twerking in front of America? Talking about being a hot girl. Like, absolutely not. And Quavo, I'm sorry, But after that whole Chris Brown beef, it was over for him. I'm sorry. Chris Brown said a lot, did a lot, and literally violated his whole career. Why are you going to pick those two? Here's my opinion. If it was in Atlanta, you should have some real Atlanta people in there. Let me tell you something. Lotto would have been perfect. Lotto has a song called Pussy. Sorry, it is called Pussy. Listen, whatever. But it's about abortion rights. It's about, you know, because she literally dropped it right after they overturned Roe v. Wade. And it's such a good song. It's a women empowerment song. That would have been amazing for her to perform that there. That would have been the perfect time, right? That song. Also, Lil Baby. Lil Baby is from Atlanta. He also has a song for Black Lives Matter. It's called, what's that song called? The Bigger Picture. That's an amazing song. That would have had the crowd lit. Like, come on, bro. You got T.I. T.I. is also an Atlanta native. 21 Savage is also an Atlanta native who has hits, who could literally have the crowd jumping. It doesn't even have to be like a political, you know, women empowerment song. Like, it could just be, but I just gave those two examples because those were the perfect people. Lotto would have lit that shit up. And it would have gave the perfect message if she would have did her song on abortion rights. That would have gave the best message ever. But it's like, you know, T.I., 21 Savage, Future. Those are all Atlanta natives that could have really had the crowd better. I just feel like it was all about grasping the crowd and getting them engaged. And I don't think Megan Thee Stallion and Quavo did that. I think that it gave us a bad look, honestly. And I feel like, I don't know, it just could have been put together better. But, you know, I ain't on the PR team yet. But I'm just saying, if I had the control of, you know, selecting who was going to be performing and what they were going to perform, I would have chose those people because those are so logical. Lotto and Lil Baby would have been my first choices because they actually are Atlanta natives, one. Two, the crowd loves them. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no negative shit about them in the media at all. And they have songs that pertain to our history. They have songs that pertain to what goes on in the real life world that people love and people know. So I just think that, you know, it could have been done better, but it is what it is. Kamala's first speech about how she, you know, was a prosecutor for mad years, so she prosecuted people like Trump, is amazing. That is like, she's, and I strongly feel like or believe that Trump's campaign is crumbling as the time goes. They have their first debate, I believe September 10th. I think that's the date that they agreed on. But who knows? Trump might back out of that shit too, like he did the first one. So whatever, who knows? And it's also like when you're a criminal, like Donald Trump, and don't come at me because he's literally a convicted criminal. Literally 36 felony counts. Like, come on. Or 36, 39. I don't know how much it is, but please. That is more fucking felonies than I don't even know, okay? Yeah, he's a criminal. When you go against when you're a criminal like that, why would you want to debate a prosecutor? Why would you want to debate her? I wouldn't. Hello? And Trump is also a dirty fighter. So, like, there's really nothing that I feel like he could really come at Kamala with, because I feel like she's going to tear him down, because that's literally what her whole career has been. Convicting criminals, you know, interrogating criminals. And I feel like Trump, the only thing Trump gonna really do is probably call her a nigga, probably say she's a black whatever, you know what I mean? He's gonna be foul, he's gonna be nasty mouth, it's gonna be disgusting, it's gonna be horrible. That's why I'm saying, as black women, we really need to buckle down on how we feel about ourselves and our morals and our values, so that when we see shit like that, we're like, oh, fuck that nigga, like, whatever, he's just a hating white man, that's it. But yeah, that's really all I had to talk about, to be honest. Like, that was a lot, but, you know. So, like, everything. Okay, so I have a list. I have a Kamala fact sheet, because I'm not one of them, okay? So, I'm just going to tell y'all, two things that I forgot to talk about. She created one of the first child protection bureaus that focus on protecting children and not charging them for child prosecution and giving them access to safe houses and protection, specifically young black women and trans women. Again, who's going to fight for us harder than people who are actually in our shoes? Nobody. Also, she stood up for marriage equality by creating the Respect for Marriage Act, ending the gay and trans panic defense in 2014. Calls out anti-trans violence, including Trump's anti-trans ban on trans members serving the military. This trans panic defense was an excuse by defense attorneys that gave their clients the right to harm someone gay or trans, harm or take their life, someone gay or trans, due to shock of them discovering this person was trans or gay. First of all, the fact that she even had to make that an act is crazy, because that's not even an excuse for nothing. But whatever. But this just goes to show, you know, that she's literally for the people and she's literally for everyone. You know, her fighting, her trying to fight for gay and trans people, she's not gay or trans. But that's something that she resonates with. That's something that's important to her. You know what I mean? Like, and also them saying that she's married to a white man, what the fuck do I care? What do I care? Who she goes to sleep with that night, bro? I don't care, as long as she's doing it right by me and my country. That's what y'all need to be focused on, not who she's sleeping with. Shit. God, y'all pissing me off. But yeah, that is today's show. I hope y'all liked it. I hope, you know, it makes sense to where I've been. Next week, I plan to drop my collab with Ashley Lee, who is phenomenal. You guys are going to love that. After my vacation, of course. This episode is going to drop in 2 days because today is Wednesday. So yeah, y'all will get this Friday. Woo-woo. But yeah, next week after I come back from vacation, I will drop the Ashley Lee episode and give you guys some really good sisterhood moments and some sisterhood conversation, which you guys are going to love. But yeah. I love y'all. I hope y'all have a great week. I hope y'all have a great the rest of your summer. Because you probably won't see me for a while. It's probably our last chat for like 2 weeks. Because obviously this one's coming out. And then another collab that I've already previously recorded is coming out also. So yeah. I hope y'all have a great rest of your summer. I hope to see y'all soon. And I love y'all. Bye.